Aye, sir, you'll stand in judgment for that mockery. Do you hear me? God will not be mocked. You'll answer for it. Repent of your sin. Turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Here this afternoon, friends, to declare to you the truth as it is in Jesus. This lovely, beautiful afternoon. That in itself an occasion in which you should give thanks to God that you breathe His air, enjoy His sunshine, walk upon His earth, and of course enjoy all the benefits that God affords you, the very bread of life, breath of life rather. Word of God, the Bible, only place where you find the Word of God today. It's offered to you this afternoon in written form, entirety of the New Testament. Copy of it is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. You would like to have a copy, then please feel free to come and ask for one. Yours to take and do with as you will. The Bible, of course, the theme in its entirety from start to finish is the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this reason and this purpose, to save us from a certain and known danger, that of our sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what the Bible says. And of course, we all be sinners, for the Bible equally says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I encourage you this afternoon, best advice I can give to anyone really is to read Word of God for yourself and pray. Ask God to enlighten you. Ask God to give you understanding, spiritual understanding I mean, that you might come to an awareness of your sin, that you might come to an awareness of God, of His mercy and His kindness that is offered to you in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Of course, in every day and generation, there have been the fools and mockers. They were there beneath the cross, just the same. But of course, there were those too who were being received by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good afternoon.
Even one of those who had responsibility for nailing Him to the cross, he cried out in the finish, he said, "Truly this was the Son of God." And of course, that is the truth. For you see, Jesus was proved to be exactly who He claimed to be by the power of His resurrection from the dead. Huh? You like one? New Testament? Yours for free. Enjoy. You're welcome. So proved to be the Son of God, of course, by the power of His resurrection from the dead. But of course, Jesus today is still receiving sinners. Says in the New Testament of the Bible, equally, this man, that's a reference to Jesus Himself, this man receives the sinners. And of course, that accusation, as it was then, was made by the self-righteous enemies of the gospel. And of course, the self-righteous, well, they're always enemies of the gospel. Self-righteousness, God, Jesus Christ, has got nothing to say to. He tells us that he came for all manner of people. The brokenhearted came to set the captives free, release the oppressed, give eyesight to the blind. But he never, ever had anything to say to the self-righteous. Those who esteem themselves to be okay, I guess, you know. I'm okay. I don't need a savior. I don't need God. I don't need nothing. I'm okay, you know. And self-righteousness, of course, it comes in the religious variety, and it comes to, of course, in the secular, atheistic variety too. But self-righteousness is a dreadful, dreadful evil. Jesus, he speaks about two men who went up into the temple, one very proud and self-righteous and religious with it. And he prayed, well, he prayed to himself, not to God. He thought he was praying to God. He said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I don't do the adultery. I don't do the dirty. I don't cheat people in the marketplace. I give money to the church and so on. But the other man, he wouldn't as much as lift his eyes up to heaven. And he cried out to God, beating his breast. And he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was the last of these two, Jesus says, who went home justified, right with God, that is. I wonder, are you this afternoon, which one are you? The self-righteous one? The one who doesn't need God? The one who's okay? The one who does it all? Or the one who dares not even lift your eyes up to heaven, but cries for the mercy of God? Well, if you're the latter, I've got good news for you, because Jesus, this man, you see, he receives sinners. Those who know, those who understand themselves to be far short of God and far short of his glory. And those, of course, who desire to be right with God, who desire to be saved, who desire the kingdom of God, this man, Jesus, the only Savior, the Son of God, he receives sinners even yet, just as his enemies said that he did. Of course, those enemies of Jesus, they were opposed to the mercy of God and the salvation of God. The trouble is, not only did they keep themselves from the kingdom of God, but they hindered others from entering the kingdom of God. And this, of course, is the problem with your world religions today. It's no different. They're all just works religion. Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, Confucianism, the Meccan variety, Islam, all just the philosophies of men, all works religion, world religions that abound. And friends, they're nothing but hindrances to the gospel, the saving message of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I tell you, friends, outside of the gospel, there is not one ounce of salvation to be found anywhere else. Only in my gospel, only through my Savior, only through Jesus Christ, the one who receives sinners. And will receive you this afternoon, should you come to him in faith, in the way of repentance and faith. You see, the profligate, the profane, it doesn't matter. You see, the grace of God, the Bible tells us, you know, has been revealed to all men, all kinds of men. The grace of God, that is, that brings salvation. to all kinds of men. So the sinners, you see that, that Jesus yet receives those, that is, who have transgressed the laws of God. Because that, you see, is what sin is. Transgression of God's law. Those who have lived, you know, lawless lives, contrary to God's commandments. And this, of course, well, it stems, you see, from a sinful nature. Nature in which you're born, you see. That's why Jesus says elsewhere in the Bible that you must be born again. Except a man is born again, his nature is changed, that is. He cannot see, understand, unless he's illuminated, unless his mind, his darkened mind, you see, is enlightened by God spiritually, supernaturally. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. Born with a sinful nature, and a nature, of course, that is biased away from God and biased towards transgression, that is, breaking of God's law. But that's all of us, you see, in a natural born state and condition. We're all born mockers of God. We're all born haters of God. You're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater or a supernaturally reborn God lover. One of the two. No one ever loved God until they were born again. Nature must be changed. This applies to all men. However, it manifests itself in your life. You know, with some people, it would be maybe uncleanness, drunkenness, drug abuse, gossiping, hatred, unforgiveness, anger, rage, murder. And of course, well, we could go on a while. The list, of course, is by no means exhaustive. But sin, believe me, friends, in one way or another, it manifests itself in your life as it does in everybody else's. It's common to all men. It's the one common denominator, you see, that binds the whole, the entire human race together. We're all of us, every single one of us, we're all sinners before God and in need of God's salvation. So this applies, you see, that Jesus receives sinners. It applies to all men. And of course, sinners of all ages. We ought, of course, the Bible tells us to seek God while we're young. You know, while we have the faculty of mind. You know, while you're bright and sharp, as it were. To seek God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You know, to live in obedience to God's commandments as opposed to the transgression of them. That advice, of course, is good advice. It's good to seek the Lord while you're young. Good to come to know the Lord while you're young. Because prevention is always better than cure. Yes, the Lord can cure, you know, the sins, you know, of age, but prevention is always better, you see. And so if you're a young person here this afternoon, well, I would urge you not to waste your life in sinful degradation, but rather to submit yourself to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That God may bless your life, you know. Make it profitable. Make it count, you know, in this world of darkness, of sin and degeneracy. But of course, some people live with the misapprehension. They think, well, I'm too old now. I wasted my life, you know. I'm too old. I'm in my 70s. I'm in my 80s. Maybe perhaps somebody hobbling about here in your 90s, as long as you got the breath of life in you, still can be saved. You know, Some people think, you know, well, I've done too much, you know. I sinned too much. If you knew the catalogue of sins that I had against me, you know, the years, the way that I've lived, nah, I couldn't be saved now. Too late for me. It's only too late when you've breathed your last. It's only too late when they're putting you in the box. It's only too late when you're, you know, the flames of the crematorium are licking at your remains. It's only too late then. But if you got the breath of life in you today, it's not too late. Jesus would receive you. That is, were you to come to Him? Were you to come to Him in a way? In the only way that we can come to Him, in repentance and faith. Repentance means a change of mind, you know? Changing your mind about God, changing your mind about your sin, changing your mind about Jesus. Go on. You mocking, sir?
No, sir.
Huh?
No, not for me.
You be careful, sir. You be careful. God's not mocked. You reap whatever you sow. Oh, you see, friends, age has got nothing to do with it, you know. A child can be saved. In fact, I think it'd be easier for a child. You know, Jesus says in one place, except you, you know, become as children, you know, childlike, you know, that simplicity of trust and faith. You know, unless you become like a child, Jesus says, you know, and be converted, you cannot, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. You see, the thing about a child, you know, is that, you know, that cynicism and the unbelief, the hardness, you know, hasn't, you know, embedded itself in their minds, in their souls. So, I would say it's easier for a child, but what I'm saying is, age has got nothing to do with it, you know. You might be as old as Methuselah, I doubt it very much though. You might be very old, you might be very young, you might be middle-aged, it doesn't matter. Jesus, this man, receives sinners, yeah? Age does not hinder you. If you're an old person, well, it's more important that you get saved now than you get saved today. Because you don't know how long you've got. You know, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. What if your death was today? What if it was tonight? What if it was tomorrow? You know, you just don't know, you know, how long you've got. So if like me, you're, you know, a bit grey-haired and the bones are starting to creak, maybe it's high time that you are saved. Maybe it's time that you repented and believed the gospel. Jesus, be assured, He receives sinners of all ages. Then, of course, sinners of all stations, if you were to read the Bible for yourself, you find that, well, that He saved kings and He saved beggars, you know. The station in life has got nothing to do with it. Some people, of course, looking at the church today would maybe, you could maybe, you know, be forgiven for thinking this is some kind of middle class association. It's not that at all. It matters not your station in life. You can be a beggar in the street with no place to live, no family, no friends, not a penny to your name, you know. The beggars in the Bible that Jesus saved. Then, of course, there were kings. One king that I think of, I just can't remember his name, but he was a wicked, wicked evil. I, you know, every time I read it, I stagger at it. I think, how could such a wicked man as this be saved? But he was. I think he was the wickedest king that Israel ever had. But at the last, he repented, he humbled himself before God and cried out to God and he received mercy. So, you know, maybe you've led a life, you know, of degeneracy, you know, drunken and filthy and swearing and cursing, and maybe like the newspaper vendor there, mocking God in public. You know, friends, you can be saved, you see. Because this man, because Jesus, he receives sinners, you know, of all kinds, kings and beggars. And those in between too, doesn't mean to say, would you like a copy of God's Word, sir? No? It doesn't matter, you know, you might not be a king, and you might not be a beggar, you might be something in between. But you can still come to Jesus, you can still come to Jesus and be saved. Then of course there's sinners of all degrees. Well, very touched on this, the vilest, you know. And some maybe think, you know, and they're a wee, you know, tad of self-righteousness, you know. Well, you know, that's for the drunkards, and that's for the druggies, you know. But, you know, I'm quite a respectable person. Keep the family tidy, the home tidy, and, you know, really, do I need salvation? Friends, the thing is, you know, that very, very few people in this day and generation, in and out of the church, really are aware of their sin. I know we all say we've all done wrong, but that's not the same as being aware of your sin. That's not the same as being convinced that you're a vile, rotten sinner, the most respectable of you, most religious of you. You know, that you're vile to the very core of your being. That's how God describes each and every one of us. That's our natures. That's why we need to be saved. So you see, friends, it's not, it's not just a case of, well, we've all done wrong. Yes, we have. We've all sinned. But awareness of sin is when God Himself shows you your sin, convicts you of your sin. I tell you, friends, I tell you this, if God was to give you a glimpse, something of a glimpse of the reality of your sin, you would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ. Because only He could save you from it, and from its consequences, the damnation of hell. So that's kind of like the description, if you like, of the sinners that Jesus receives. And of course, he receives them to what? He receives them into His forgiveness, into His grace and favor. Forgiveness, you see, that's the very heart of the gospel, friends. The forgiveness of God. Thank you, Andrew. The forgiveness of God, you see. There is forgiveness with God that He may be feared. Plenteous redemption with God. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, of course, alone. But you see, friends, this is what He receives men and women into, because this is His office, you see. He's a Savior. That's what He's appointed to. And He says to the uttermost, all those who come to God through Him. The Bible tells us, forgiveness, grace, abounding grace towards sinners. The free favor of God, you see, the very opposite to what you deserve. What is it you deserve? Punishment. What is it you deserve? The damnation of hell. Every single one of us. Yes, ma'am, you too. Every single one of us. All of us. But Jesus, you see, He offers you, He has the authority of God His Father, He has the authority to offer you grace instead, you see, the free favor of God to be brought into the kingdom of God. It's His divine prerogative, so to do, because of who He is, of what He is, the appointed Savior, the only appointed Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He says. No man comes to the Father but by Me. No one gets right with God, that is, but by Him. Nor the name under heaven whereby a person can be saved, only through the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the appointed Savior, the second person of the blessed Holy Trinity, Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son. He has this divine prerogative to receive you into the forgiveness, the grace, and the favor of God, if you would but come to Him in the way of repentance and faith. Into his family for adoption. He came to his own, but his own received him not, the Bible says. But to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, into the family of God. But here's the thing, friends. You belong to another family. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't repented, if you haven't believed on Jesus, if you haven't come to Jesus, if Jesus hasn't received you, well, you yet belong to another family. You belong to the family of the devil, of Satan. And the only way that you can change family circumstances, well, you know as well as I do, you have to be adopted. But this is what Jesus wants to receive you into. He wants to give you your adoption papers so that you can become a member of God's family, into a member of His kingdom, a member of His church, a citizen of heaven instead of a citizen of hell. Jesus receives sinners, you know? And this is what He receives them into. And of course, well, one day into His heaven. There is the example, of course, that we have in the New Testament, you know, of a dying thief. He was dying alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, he was moments away from death. And he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and proved the very thing that I'm telling you here this afternoon. Jesus received him, the sinner that he was. He was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. He was getting the just recompense for his deeds from the state. He was being executed by the justice system. But he turned to Jesus and cried to Jesus. And Jesus said, assured him today, he says, you will be with me in paradise, in heaven. Jesus receives sinners and he receives them into heaven. Only he can, you see. You die as you must one day, for it's appointed unto man once to die. You die, you see. And that rushes you into the presence of Almighty God. Well, here's the thing, friends. If Jesus is not there as your advocate, if He's not there, you know, for your defense, I tell you, heaven is closed to you, shut to you. The only one who can open it to you, the only one who can receive you into heaven is Jesus. The one who receives sinners. If you would but come to Him, that is. Jesus opened the way, you see. It is finished, He cried from the cross. And the Bible, New Testament, tells us that as He was dying in the temple precincts, there was a massive curtain that was rent in two, supernaturally by the hand of God. Signifying, you see, that the way into the presence of God was open to men and women. Jesus, by His death, by His atoning blood, you see, He opened the way into heaven for men and women, for sinful men and women, for men and women who have mocked God, for men and women who have transgressed the law of God, for men and women who have lived with all their days, you know, with their fists in their Maker's face, received into heaven, eh? Now, some of you, I ask you, I talk to you personally, and I say to you, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And some of you, you say, well, I hope so. I hope so. I think so. And I say, well, on what basis ought God to allow you into heaven? And you tell me, because I'm a good person. Well, Jesus says, only God is good. Bible says there's none good. No, not one. You want to take your perceived goodness? You want to measure it with God's word? He says that no liar shall ever enter heaven. You ever told a lie? God says no thief shall enter heaven. Have you ever stolen anything, big or small? It matters not. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart, says Jesus. Nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. So there goes your perceived goodness. It is happening, it's right before you. Friends, if you're to get to heaven, it will ever only be on the basis of God's goodness in providing you with a salvation, with a Savior, Jesus, who receives sinners. This man receives sinners. And will receive you this afternoon. In the way of repentance and faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Salvation, God has provided salvation. The Old Testament, the Bible, the prophet Moses, he says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. See? Into His heaven, you see? He gives the title for heaven to sinners. Yeah? Those who come to Him and those that He receives. And of course, the way in which sinners are received, you see, is by the way of, you know, the acknowledgement and confession of sin. If you say that you haven't sinned, well, you're calling God a liar, the Bible says. You're saying God's a liar. God's not a liar. Not at all. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. But you see, that sin has to be acknowledged. That sin has to be confessed. Openly acknowledge, I've sinned, Lord, and I've broken your commandments, every single one of them, seeking forgiveness, you know, from the only one who can forgive you. Now you can go to the Pope, you can go to the priest, you can go to the imam, you go whoever you want. I tell you, on the authority of God's word, His revelation, there's but one person alone, who has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. And His name is Jesus. And this man receives sinners. Yeah. But of course, your sin is ever before you. You can't really deny it. You know, you might try to, you might like to, you might want to brush it under the carpet, as we want to do. But friends, God doesn't do that. God deals with sin, and He deals with it thoroughly. He puts it beneath the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He blots it out as with a thick cloud. He promises never to remember it again. He promises to bury it in the deepest sea where it can never be found again. To remove it as far from the east, as far as the east is from the west. Friends, sin, some people deal with it in all kinds of ways, you know. You know, the guilty conscience, drugs and more drugs, booze and more booze. That's no way to deal with a guilty conscience. Only one way, friends, that's to confess it up front before God, transparency before God, before His Son, Jesus Christ. Acknowledge, confess your sin, repent of it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will receive you. In that way, in the way of repentance, change of mind, you know, about God and your sin, your involvement in it, change of direction, God's way, not yours, your way. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and you begin to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. Think God's thoughts after Him, and you find your life transforming before your very eyes. But friends, your way is the way to destruction. Your way is the way to death. Your way is the way to eternal death. Your way is the way to the second death, the lake of fire. There's one way to eternal life, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, this one who receives sinners. If you come to Him in the way of humility, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, says the New Testament. He will receive you. He will exalt you. But exalt yourself before God, and He will humble you. Eventually. Now, friends, the way of humility, Jesus will receive you, and He will receive you most freely. no reluctance on his part. You, I guarantee, are more reluctant to be saved than Jesus is to receive you. He will receive you without any reluctance. In fact, he waits for you. He implores you. He invites you. This man receives sinners. Come unto me, he says. Spread his arms out on that cross. Wasn't the nails that held him to the cross? It was love for sinners such as you. And those arms are still outstretched, imploring you, be reconciled to God. Come to me, he says. Come to me. Most readily will he receive you. Now, at once, immediately, even now, in the quiet recesses of your heart. Forget the mockers and the scoffers. They'll always be around till God deals with them in the end. But oh, friends, in the quiet recesses of your own heart, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You come just as you are. He does not ask for reform. Oh, you see, I need to tidy up my life a bit. I need to get myself to church. I need to read the Bible. No. You come just as you are to Jesus. Just as you are. He'll see to the reformation that's needed. He'll do all the rest. You just come to him as you are, a sinner, lost and undone. And you come to him and you submit and surrender yourself to him. He will receive you. I guarantee you, on the authority, the basis of God's word. But listen to me, reception by the Lord Jesus is limited to this present life. When you've breathed your last, it's too late. There's no second chances. There's no such a place as purgatory. It does not exist. It's heaven or hell. You leave it till you've breathed your last, and you're gone, and you're gone forever. You're lost, and you're lost forever. Now, in this present life, here and now, Jesus receives sinners. There's no mercy, there's no pardon, there's no salvation in the grave. It's too late then, friends. Now is the time. Now is the day of God's favor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Come now, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. The first words of the gospel recorded in the New Testament. Repent and believe the gospel. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. Repent, he says. Repent and believe the gospel, friends. Today, now. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God.